very slowly and carefully to get on your knees, if you will. If you are a visitor, it's your first time, or maybe first time in church, we are just going to spend some time praying. And when we get on our knees, we are putting ourselves in a physical position of submission to God. We all acknowledge that the only one worthy of our worship is God. No person in this room except the Lord Jesus is worthy of our worship. Holy Spirit, we want to acknowledge that you are here. We want to acknowledge your presence. We want to acknowledge your desire to fill us, to encourage us. We want to acknowledge your role to empower us to serve our Father in heaven. We want to acknowledge that you are a gentleman and will not force yourself on us, but we must ask and surrender and make ourselves available to you as your servants. And so we are on our knees. We are on our knees here in Point Loma. We are on our knees in East County and North County online and any microsite we have around San Diego. And we are kneeling before the Father, asking the Father to send the Holy Spirit in power. We know that you're here, Holy Spirit. But we pray you fall on us like a brick, that you make yourself known in our hearts, that you make yourself known to our minds, that you would flow through us like rivers of water and cleanse our thoughts, purify our intention, that you empower us for service, to do things that we'd be beyond what we would ever ask or imagine to do, to be used in a way in the kingdom of God beyond what we'd ever ask or imagine. Lord, there are some of us need just to repent for the first time. So Holy Spirit, we ask you, the Spirit of God, that you would speak to us today, that you would empower us today. We want all that you have. We are not satisfied with just coming to church, singing songs, listening to a message, having a couple of laughs, and watching an altar call. That is not enough. Learning a few verses, reading the Bible throughout the week, there's more to our relationship with you than that. We know that. We don't want to be religious people. We want to walk with you every day and be spiritual people. We want to have an intimate relationship with the Spirit of God. So Holy Spirit, we're inviting you into our life. And I pray as we study worship, I pray as we discuss worship, I pray as we learn about and engage in worship, that you would teach us to worship, that you would prepare our heart to worship, that you will prepare us to respond to every little thing you say and do and think about our life throughout every day. That it wouldn't be just on Sunday when we come that we would sing a few songs and call that our worship life. That our whole life would be an act of worship. And that when people think about us, see us, experience us, they would see and experience someone who is in constant worship of the living God. We are constantly responding to the holiness of God and to the power of God in our life and to the moving of God in our life and to the faithfulness of God in our life. Lord, we want to be those people. Lord, there are some of us in this room who are so far from you. We have addictions and our night habits, our secret sins, our dark secrets that we think you don't know about, but you know all of them too well. Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts to surrender them to you, and that you would remind us we can't hide anything from you. And I pray you give us the courage today, in this place, wherever, in East County, North County, online, wherever you are, that today we would say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to be up front with you, and then we would surrender. And then we receive from him the Holy Spirit, the love of God. The Bible says in Romans 5 that the Holy Spirit pours out the love of God in our hearts. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. He empowers us for service. He gives us gifts. He guides and directs us left and right, tells us what to speak, tells us and shows us and reveals to us the deep things of God as they pertain to our life. Prays on our behalf with groanings which cannot be uttered. So, Holy Spirit, we pray you do that even now, that you would speak to the Father on our behalf with groanings which cannot be uttered about our life, because we don't know where to go. We know that there's more to our life than what we have, but we don't know where else to go except to you. So we ask you to bless us. And Lord, in a minute, we're going to get up, and I pray as we get up in a minute, we're going to cheer for you. But I pray, Lord, as we get up and rise and as we hear the message and go into worship, that you would teach us to worship you, that you would teach us to honor you, to praise you, to acknowledge you in every area of our life throughout all the day. And that when we come here, we would kickstart our week, that we may worship you all week. And that we would be reminded, Holy Spirit, you would bring to our mind things that Jesus said throughout the week, especially when we need it the most, when we're being tempted. You would remind us who we are, ambassadors, a royal priesthood, children of God, that our lives may be an act of worship. So right now, slowly and carefully, don't hurt your back. Be careful as you get up slow. And as we get up and the lights go up, I want to spend a minute cheering our Lord and Savior for doing what he has done for us. Let's give him a hand. Amen. 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 Come on. Amen. 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 Give someone a high five next to you. Give someone a high five next to you. Who's the man? Got a girl who's the man. How's everybody doing today? Amen, amen. If you are a visitor, welcome to The Rock. We want to welcome all our peoples in North County and East County. Let's give East County and North County a hand. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. Two very quick announcements before we start. We are opening officially our grand opening of our East County location. They've already started church out there practicing all the technology. There's people there now. There was a bunch of people there this morning. Saturday, we're going to have a ribbon cutting at our East County site. It's all in the bulletin online. We invite you all to come out. But if you live in East County, we want to encourage you to go to church out there and check it out. It is a beautiful place. And the reason we have that church out there is so the people in that community can go to church in their community and serve the people in that community. We have one in East County, and we're going south. Probably next time, our next campus will be south somewhere. But we want to serve all the people of San Diego and be praying about south. We got a couple of locations in different places down south that we're going to pick. We don't know which one. It all depends on the people and the leadership. So God's going to open up the doors for those locations. But next week is going to be East County and our grand opening. And then number two, I want to challenge all the young people in here, 30 on down to 2 years old, because I figure the one-year-olds, you can't understand what I'm saying. We got to go after the youth of this city. Amen. The youth of this city is our future. And if you're old, we love you, but we do not want this church to be all old people. We don't. When the church is all old, the church is on its way down, dying. That's just a historical fact. We want to keep you old people, and we want to keep you until you can be kept. But we got to go with our young people. So I want to challenge, and we're going to be ramping up our challenge to get young people, but I started as a youth pastor. I consider myself still a youth pastor, but I want to give you young people a vision that we believe that you, what we know you are the future of the church. We need campus pastors. We need leadership. And it's going to rise up for all ages, but especially young kids, as you grow up, you're going to grow into those positions and even start now. So I want to encourage you to be praying about that and start to bring kids to church. Bring your peers, bring your kids, bring your neighborhood kids or whatever it is. But we want to put a focus on that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Anybody here under 30? Raise your hand if you're under 30. Very good. All of you, please. Okay. Matter of fact, if you're under 30, because my theory is that you have more energy than old people. So let's hear on a count of three how much volume you have if you're under 30. Then we're going to hear how loud the old people can still get. So matter of fact, I'm going to go to the old people first. If you're over 30, under three, let's start cheering in a minute. One, two, three, old people. Yeah! That's right. That's right. Old people can definitely get loud. And by the way, when I say old is over 30, you know, it's all relative. I mean, 30 is really very, very young. But very, very young. I meet kids, they're like, I say, how old are you? Oh, I'm 24. Like, my shoes are 24. Shut up. Okay, under 30, on two, three, on three. One, two, three. Under 30? All right. How about everybody? Let's see your Bible. Say word. Very good, very good. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6. And by the way, North County, East County, we heard you screaming, young people as well, we heard y'all screaming out there, so we didn't forget you. I know East County is already blowed up. It's going to blow up next week. We're so excited about East County. I can hear y'all screaming out there. I have three children, two daughters, 27, 26. My son is 24. When my oldest daughter was about five or so, she was in our living room dancing. We were filming. She was kind of. And her sister was standing behind her in the video, not dancing, leaning on the couch going, I can't hear it. I can't hear it, Daddy. I can't hear it. And the other daughter was, my other daughter was going like this. He just danced for the camera. And her younger sister was going, I can't hear it. I can't hear it. Oh. And for years, we were trying to figure out what she was saying. And then we figured out that she was saying, I can't hear it. Because she figured that if her sister was dancing, music must have been playing somewhere. But there was no music. So she was like, what is she dancing to? So I can't hear it. Worship is a response to the revelation of God. And when you, whether you worship as a response lifting your hands, as a worship response to read your Bible, your response is prayer, your response is sitting quietly before God, you are responding to something that maybe only you see, maybe only is revealed to you at that moment, maybe something only you learn or something that God did in your life that you go, oh my goodness, I heard someone 2 days ago on television define or describe coincidence as God being anonymous. God doing something in your life, but he doesn't want anybody to know. He just wants you to figure it out. And yet a lot of times God does something supernatural in our life and we go, what a coincidence. And God's going, but other people say, no, that was God. And they will say out of worship, praise the Lord. It's a response. And so when you come to church, which is the place we learn how to worship at the body of Christ, and we're singing, that is probably the most vivid and most well-known form of worship where you follow along and sing along, by the way. People will sometimes will say, you know, church is like a concert, you have all these lights. And no, this is all like heaven. Because in heaven, there's going to be lights, there's going to be thunder and lightning. I wish I could buy a machine, and we could put thunder and lightning in here. Because then we talk about heaven and a rainbow and the floor was gold like glass. You can see right through it. That's going to be heaven. So I can't help it if concerts copied heaven. We ain't copying concerts. They're copying heaven. We're copying heaven. But my point is that when you come to worship and you see all that going on, you could say, well, I'll just wait till it's over. Or you could respond to who we're singing to. That's worship. And when you read something in the Bible where God reveals something to you, your response, one of which could be, I'm going to obey that. That's worship. When God gives you an amazing job, you worship him by honoring him by doing that job with all your might. And when he gives you money, you honor him with your money, and you worship him by honoring him with your money, by spending on him what he wants you to spend it on. When you honor him with your body, by not flinging it and jiggling it, by honoring him by taking care of it. Because how you wiggle and jiggle, and whether you're a guy or a girl wiggling and jiggling, how you wiggle and jiggling, that act is a symbol of what you believe in your heart that you have to do to be fulfilled. You're saying, I have to do this in order to get this, because if I don't get this, I'm not going to be happy. Instead of saying, God, what do you want me to do? Worship is saying, God, I'm going to respond to you according to who you are, and I'm just going to respond to not what I think, what I feel, but what I experience about who you are, not what I fear, not what I doubt. That's worship. All week long, things are going to happen to you, good, bad, and indifferent, and then you have to say, what is the facts of who God is? What do those facts dictate I do? That's worship. Not just singing a song, because you could sing a song and not be worshiping. You're just singing. If I start singing, reasons, the reasons that I'm here, that is not worship. That is torture. But I could be singing a song, and I could be singing a song, and I'm not worshiping. The book of Isaiah. The author of Isaiah is the prophet Isaiah. A prophet is a person who is a mouthpiece of God, and a prophet's job was only to pronounce and say what God told them to say. So if the message got to the people, or the prophet would act out what God told him to act out, so the message got to the people. That's all the prophet's job was to do. And the reason God was using the prophet was to communicate something to the people so the people would obey God. That's it. The prophet's job wasn't to predict the future. No, that wasn't the prophet's job. The prophet's job was to say, thus saith the Lord. Now, sometimes God would tell them the future so they would obey. He would either warn them about what's going to happen in the future or encourage them about what's going to happen in the future. But the whole purpose was to communicate God's message to the people so they would obey God. Isaiah was such a prophet. Isaiah was of a royal bloodline. Isaiah was very educated. Isaiah was a prophet for four kings. He prophesied and ministered to four kings over 40 different years. He was over 40 years, very educated, very distinguished, and he wrote a book called Isaiah, which is 66 chapters. And Isaiah's 66-chapter book called Isaiah is structured after the Bible. The Bible has 66 books. The first 39 books of the Bible is the Old Testament, and it's very much about judgment. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah's book is all about judgment. The second 27 books in the Bible, the New Testament, is all about hope in Jesus Christ. The last 27 chapters of Isaiah's book is all about hope in Jesus Christ. So Isaiah wrote this book called the book of Isaiah, this book in the Bible called the book of Isaiah, but it all started with him seeing God and worshiping. He saw God, and his response was a life of service. His response, imagine if your life is a response to something God did to you. You're just living your life out to honor who he is, and not something, and not a one-time experience, a daily experience. You want to have a very powerful half hour? You can go home and watch Friends or Buffy the Vampire, if it even comes on, or you could watch TMZ over and over and over again because you want to see Miley Cyrus do her little thing, chang, chang, chang. You want to have a more powerful half hour than that? Sit alone in a room by yourself and call on God. And just say, God, I'm available. And just be quiet before God. The world's got us going with TV, radio, internet, text message, Twitter, Facebook, Google, Boogle, Jiggy, Instagram, lolly, lolly, doody, chicky, chicka, chicka. All day and night. And God says, you can't hear me. You can't hear me. I'm not going to yell over all of that. Sit quiet before God and let God speak to you. Look what it says, chapter 6. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Here he has seen a vision of God on a throne lifted up, because hallowed be thy name, holy is your name. Our Father who art in heaven, he is above us. Don't ever think in your wildest perverted thought that you are up here with God. That God is your equal. Don't ever just, if you ever get that thought, just slap yourself. Say, shut your mind. God is lifted up. And then it says in verse 2, above the Lord stood seraphim, each had 6 wings. How many wings did they have?
6.
Everyone say 6.
6.
Two, with 2 wings they covered their face, with 2 wings they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. Here is the Lord sitting on the throne, and above them are seraphim. A seraph is singular, seraphim is plural, and seraph is a fiery one, a burning one, an angel of fire. You need to read the Bible slow. I want you to imagine you go to heaven, which is a place like never you ain't seen it in your life. You ain't seen it in your life. I know that's really bad grammar, but you get it. And it's going to be a place with awesome power, awesome glitter, awesome thunder and lightning, rainbow lights, cameras, action, angels singing day and night. Their throne is shaking, as we're going to see in a minute. But these angels and a bunch of creatures you have never seen, multi-headed creatures, stuff that's way out there. And here's above the throne of God, these angels. I don't know how they had 6 wings, and they're made of fire. Fire. Can you imagine coming home tonight, and there's a dude standing in your house on fire, just standing there? How many of y'all want to be on fire? I caught you off guard. I want you to think about it. I'm going to ask the question, then I'm going to pause. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask the question, then I'm going to pause, and then I'm going to do this. And if you want to be on fire, do this. How many of y'all want to be on fire? Pause, think, contemplate, consider. Yeah, I want to be on fire. I want to be on fire. I'm really excited. With 2 wings, they covered their face. They said, we can't look on the holiness of God. With 2 wings, they covered their feet. We don't want the grit of all the work we do, standing on the earth or whatever, we don't want it to be exposed to God. And with 2 wings, they said, where you want us to go? We're ready to serve you. They're standing there like this, with 2 wings like this, 2 wings like this, 2 wings like this, saying, burning on fire. You and I need to be those angels. You need to be standing with God saying, God, I'm ready. What do you want me to do? Not like, you know, there was a when I was discipled in 1984, I was discipled by a guy named Sherman Smith who still coaches in the NFL. He was a teammate at the time. And he was the spiritual leader of our team. He was the most prominent Christian, vocal, big brother, 6'4", 225 pounds, no body fat, ripped. And everybody respected him. He was about 30 years old. So for us, he was a grandpa. He was old. This guy on our team went up to him and says, hey, Sherm, you know, there's this girl who wants to mess with me and, you know, she wants to go out with me and have sex, blah, 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 but she's married. Should I do it? And Sherman said to the guy, are you a Christian? Do you love Jesus? And he said, no. And then Sherman said, well, go ahead and do it then. He said, I don't understand. He says, well, if you're trying to get brownie points with God, but you're not going to walk with God, it's not going to work. You're still going to go to hell. So either you're going to be all on fire for God and obey him or not, but don't do little good things thinking that covers you and then you can do what you want. God is saying, when you see who I am, I want you to respond by complete surrender. I don't want you to say, oh, yeah, okay, I'll give you a little bone of my, a little bone here, my attention. I'm going to give you a little bone here, my attention. I want all of you. He wants all of us. And you have to ask yourself, are you on fire? Are you worshiping God with your life? Is everything you do and your approach to God himself a response to who he is? Or is it just what you do? Your kind of check the box religion thing. These angels are standing by, and look what it says. It says in verse 3, they cry to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. I want you to take a deep breath in. Take a deep breath in. Say holy.
Holy.
Take a deep breath in. Say holy.
Holy.
Take a deep breath in. Say holy.
Holy.
Now we're going to say it like they said it. Holy, holy, holy. Ready? One, two, three.
Holy, holy, holy.
And this went on day and night forever. It wasn't like, yeah, he's holy. Oh, yeah, what's on the game? What's on TV? Holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. In other words, it was like an earthquake. And there was smoke everywhere. And then Isaiah said, whoa, Wilbur. Woe is me, for I am undone. You know, worship happens when you see the holiness of God, and worship happens when you realize in the light of God's holiness how sinful you are. In other words, God, you and I are so many light years apart. My son sent me this space nebula. Space nebula is gas in space, and it looked like a caterpillar. It looked like a caterpillar, except it was like 6 trillion light years long. A light year is how far light goes in a year, and light travels 186,000 miles per second. Do the math, you probably can't. It's really far. This bluish, gaseous, caterpillar thing looking thing with a white head. It was like turquoise color, and it looked like a caterpillar, and then it had a white head. It was 6 trillion. I think it was either 6 or 61 trillion. Doesn't matter. Trillion light years long, and it's so far away you can't even see it. That's how awesome God is. They said, holy, holy, the whole universe is filled with your glory. And he says, I am undone. I am nobody. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then it says in verse 6, one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. The angel that was on fire was able to put his hand in the fire. Let me tell you something. God wants to give you something that's hot. He wants to give you something out of the fire, but he can't give it to you unless you're on fire. Only people on fire can put their hand in the fire. It'll burn you. It says, he touched my mouth, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your sin is taken away. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then Isaiah said, here's Isaiah seeing God lifted up, seeing the angels standing behind him, seeing all this amazing glory. And then God says, I need help. I need someone to go for us, to tell the people my message, to go love the poor, to feed the naked, to feed the hungry. That's what I need. He's always looking for people like that. And then he's always looking for churches like that. So here's God in heaven saying, who am I going to send? And Isaiah had his tongue, his sin purged with the coal. And then God said, and then Isaiah said, send me. Here's my question to you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come out. We're going to sing a song. My question to you is, do you want to be a person of worship where your whole life is a response to the holiness of God? Your whole life is a response to the call of God, His purpose in this world. Your whole life and everything you do and how you interact even with the people who don't like you is a response to God's love for them through you. Or do you want to just be a religious person who just checks the box and has no power whatsoever? You know, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and afro throughout the earth to show Him afro. I want to give you a little imagery of the world. Some of y'all get it when you get home. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to see who is loyal so He can show Himself strong on their behalf. What God is saying is, He's saying to the angels, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, when you find that person who is loyal, empower them. When you find that person who is submitted, empower them. When you find that person who wants to worship Me and not play the game, I want you to empower them. I want you to cleanse them. I want you to give them vision, and I want you to use them and show them their purpose. That's what we're looking for. That's what God's looking for. Is that all your whole life is just responding to Him. And when the world smacks you in the head, you say, Father, what would You like me to do? And when you're blessed, Father, what would You like me to do? And when you learn something in the Word, when you hear God whisper in your heart and through prayer, when you learn something in church, listening to TV, reading your Bible, and then you respond accordingly and say, Lord, what can we do? I was at a football game, a high school football game years ago. My son was in high school, and we were sitting in the stands with all his friends, guys and girls. And there were about two or three teenage girls with us, my wife and I, and a bunch of us sitting up there. And one of the coaches on my son's team was this 20-something-year-old guy that these girls thought was hot. Or if you remember Napoleon Dynamite and Pedro, she was hot. Y'all remember that? Is she hot? And so I didn't think the brother was hot. He was down on the field, and they said, there's Bobby. And then they said, a moment of silence. That's a new one on me, okay? I remember screaming, hey, whoa! They were like, a moment of silence. It was an act of worship. When God does something in your life, you should have a moment of silence and say, God, I know You did that. I know You did that. My father passed away 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now, coming up on 4 weeks. And the doctor said he's going to die in 2 or 3 days. We wanted him to die soon because he was suffering. They couldn't do anything for him. And my sister was in London. And we said, and we kept talking to him saying, Debbie's coming. Debbie's coming. And when she got there, he died. Thank You, God. Just so she could see Him. God does stuff. We just need to say, Lord, thank You. And if you look around your life, to your health, to your job, to your opportunities, to how He gets you through problems, Lord, thank You. So in a minute, we're going to sing. And then after we sing, we're going to pray. And after we pray, I'm going to call you forward. And the people I'm going to call forward are people who are like Isaiah saying, Lord, just send me. Cleanse me. Use me. Holy Spirit, I want everything You have. I don't want to do the church thing. We don't want to do the church thing. Please don't turn us into the church thing. That's not what we want. We never intended ever, ever, ever for that to be this to be that. We want to do the God thing. We're responding to God and His leading in our life. So let's all, we're going to stand and sing. We're going to stand and sing a song, and then we're going to pray for you, and then we're going to call you forward. Let's sing a song. Let's sing it like we mean it. East County, by the way, East County, North County, we're going to pray, we're going to sing together. Let's all sing together. Let's stand where you are.
I'll give You all my worship. I will give You all my praise. You alone.
Right where you're standing, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. East County, North County, just bow your heads and close your eyes. God deserves all of us. He can do so much through us if we would surrender all of us to Him. In a minute, I'm going to ask you, like Isaiah, to respond to who God is by saying, God, here I am, send me. And I'm going to ask you to respond by praying a prayer of surrender and then coming forward. If you're in the balcony, in a minute, I'm going to ask you, as we come, to just walk up and the ushers will bring you down. If you're in East County, North County, someone's going to pray for you. We're going to ask you to walk forward at those stages as well. Let me be crystal clear. It does not matter what kind of life you have. It doesn't matter what your lifestyle is. It doesn't matter. Well, what about it doesn't matter? But what about it doesn't matter? But what does matter is that you surrender it to God. And no matter who you are, whether it's the first time in your church, in church in your life, or you've been coming to church for 20 years, when you surrender who you are to God, He's going to take who you are and He is going to transform you. None of us are there yet. So when you surrender, you're saying, Lord, I just want whatever you want. I want whatever you want. So if you're that person, whether you're asking God to forgive you of your sin or whether you've been walking with God for 20 years, you're saying, Lord, I just want more. That's what I'm saying. Lord, I just want more. And I've been walking with God for 29 years. I need more. I need more. I'm not satisfied with what I have. I want more. So I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me, and then I'm going to ask you to come forward. And in East County, North County, you're going to pray this prayer, and then they're going to call you forward there. So right now, in the privacy of your heart, just pray this prayer in your heart. Pray, dear God, I want all of you. Holy Spirit, I need all of you. I surrender my whole self to you. I submit my life to you. Take over my life. Take over my mind. My only reasonable response to your holiness is to walk with you, is to submit to you. And I do that right now. Eyes closed, heads bowed. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to come forward if you prayed that prayer as we sing. I just want to ask you to step out of your seat here in a minute. If you're in the balcony, I'm going to ask you to just turn around and walk up, and the ushers will direct you down, and we're going to wait. And if you're in East County, North County, someone's going to welcome you and call you forward there as well. So right now, if you prayed that prayer for whatever reason, we want to pray for you. We want to encourage you. I'm going to ask you as we sing, come out of your seat, come on down to the altar, and let's give them a hand as we sing, and come on out of the seat. Come on. Holy Spirit, I pray for all these people, and I pray that you would touch their life. I pray that you would fall on them like a rock. I pray you would transform their life, that you would make yourself known to them more real than I am standing in front of them. And Lord, I pray that we as a church would worship you in everything we do, that when we leave here today, we would respond to the truth of your word and the truth of your character and the truth of your love to everything that comes our way. Negative will come our way. I pray we respond. Our response is an act of worship. It's not an act of anger or act of resentment or act of jealousy. It's an act of worship. Lord, thank you for being so patient with us. And thank you for creating us in your image in Christ Jesus to do works that you've already prepared in advance that we do, that there are good works waiting for us to do. Thank you for that. And Lord, I want to pray in advance for our offering that we're going to receive in a minute when people leave. Lord, I pray you bless the giver. And I pray people give their offering as they walk out here in a few minutes after we take care of the people at the altar. I pray that they would give because they appreciate what you have given to them, that their giving is an act of worship. It is a response to indicate they trust that you will bless them and take care of their needs. It's also an act of appreciation that you've already taken care of their needs. And I pray there will be no guilt money put in those boxes at the exits. We want people to keep their guilt money. We want to receive their gifts and their offerings of appreciation and worship. So I pray you multiply the offerings, not only that go in the box, but the offerings and the bank accounts from where they come from. And that you will bless people with jobs and promotions because they're doing a good job that's worthy of being called God's son and God's daughter. We pray that blessing on people. And we also pray that people, that you bless the people who give not from their abundance, but from their scarcity. People who don't even have a job who are still giving. We pray you bless them. Honor them. But the Holy Spirit, these people stand down here, they come because they want something. And we know that you say if we knock, the door will be open. If we ask, it'll be answered. If we look, we'll find. So I pray that you reveal to them what they are seeking. And that you bless them with what they are seeking. In your time, in your way. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the hand, Lord, a big hand. Amen. Amen. So here's the deal. In a minute, we're going to ask all of you to walk to your right into the room in the back. And what we're going to do is we're going to...